travels. I forget where.
Most people do in France.
Yeah.
And I just had a ton of rosé.
Me and my buddy drank a bottle of it once that our friend smuggled in from Yugoslavia.
Really?
Yeah. We embarrassed ourselves that night.
We embarrassed ourselves.
I think that should be a good story. I want to hear more about that one. Yeah.
That was actually, and I fell off the roof. I don't usually tell that detail, but we got we got drunk on absinthe before the show.
That would be an important part of the story. That would connect a lot of dots.
It's just too much. There's like, you know, yeah.
Yeah. Like
wait, the story doesn't need that because it's good enough already. Yeah.
That's true, actually.
That's really funny.
That was one of my favorite ways you almost died.
Yeah, that was a good one.
That was almost a good one.
is there a list?
Oh, there is a list. You really should see some of his actual stand-up.
The one-man show.
That is true.
I've Never Been to Paris was excellent, where you went through most of the major ways you've almost killed yourself. At least the funniest ones. Maybe there's others.
Yeah. Are there any ways we don't know about?
Probably.
Probably. That's the best you got?
Yeah. Well, there's probably like ones that weren't really that funny, so I'm trying to think now, but yeah. So I didn't bother including them, but there probably are. I remember there being a few borderline stories.
You're hilarious.
Yeah. Did make the cut?
You got all these great stories, but you are like the least likely for me to think of you this way.
I get that a lot. Now. Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm not as crazy as I used to be, and I always looked nerdy,
kids.
And
yeah.
I always worked in IT, so people were surprised by it.
Yeah,
you know, yeah.
I totally get that.
Although you look at John McAfee, there's a guy who knows how to party, huh?
Yeah, but you look at him and you just know he's insane. So
yeah. Well, that's recent. He's got all those tattoos now and everything. You see, there was a report today that Google announced like three major vulnerabilities in Norton, and like the Google researchers just like eviscerated Norton. They said like these products actually make your computers less secure.
Ugh.
Really?
One was a bug that if you send a particular kind of bad email to them, they don't even have to click on it or open it. It crashes Norton and gives them like root access.
Oh,
the
Jesus.
Attacker. Yeah, it was like a really bad. It was a buffer overflow bug.
I'm assuming this is like Windows based.
Yeah, it's all Windows based. Yeah.
Can we just get to the root evil here? It's Windows based. I think that is the key.
Now, do you think that's true, or do you think it's just because? See, I feel if Mac had just as many idiots using it, eventually the viruses would target that.
Windows is definitely targeted, which causes a lot of these problems, which then causes companies like Norton to build software, which potentially, based on what you're now saying, adds to the problem.
Yeah.
But there's also, like, the fact that, you know, Windows, like, permission stuff was always so bad. Like, they've started, I think, in recent OSs over the last many years to change that. But, like, things like privilege escalation was so easy, and everything was built to be quarantined and, like, compartmentalized from the start with Unix-based systems.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you know, things that go into, like, user land space versus kernel land space, which is, like, the main dichotomy between, like, critical system functions and, like, applications. Like, those things have always been really, really bad in the Windows world.
But now maybe I'm showing some of my ignorance here, but wasn't that the whole point of Windows NT when they, like, launched Windows NT?
Yeah, it was supposed to be POSIX.
Like, the
but,
next
yeah.
technology or next technology, new technology, whatever NT stood for.
Yeah.
That was their, let's throw out all of the shit because we have a mess, and let's start from the ground up and let's build it.
But it's classic Microsoft, where they didn't really start from the ground up because they didn't want to lose app compatibility.
Well, yeah, maybe I read too much propaganda back in the day.
Yeah.
But I read what was the book called? Something like Eating Your Own Dog Food or something like that, which was what they referred to in the team was everything they did had to live in the system, and they lived in the new kernel, basically, as they built it up to eat your own dog food.
That'd be interesting.
It was an interesting book.
I have doubts that MS was truly that elegant about it, but who knows?
Yeah. Fair enough. Well, I think we've actually jumped in. So we are the Worldwide IT Guys. Welcome to the podcast. It's podcast number 42, I believe. And we are the Worldwide IT Guys, and I'm Steve.
I'm Gavin.
John.
Sean.
And we do have an in-studio guest who may or may not say anything, but we'll call her a reporter today. Stephanie's with us, so welcome.
It's for HR purposes, really.
I don't think this group's going to really matter with that.
Percentage-wise, you needed just one lady in the room, is that?
No, I think...
Oh, no, to report.
To report back. Try to keep us on the straight and narrow or tell people. So what's been going on? I don't know that we have a ton of transformation talk this week. Dion's out. Dion's off enjoying his day, which he's certainly a well-earned day.
Oh man,
there must have been something good though, because you were telling me that he was. I mean, even though we're sort of, he's not here to confront his accusers, but
his classic
he must have been telling somebody at IBM, like, "Do you understand? I'm asking a question or
something like that."
Yeah. What did
you're supposed
do?
To answer
I forget what it,
it.
Was. Steve heard it from his office. Yeah. What he was saying.
You understand I'm asking you that question, right?
That was what it was. That's what it was.
You were supposed to answer that.
Those question were almost the exact words. So apparently,
I'm asking you that question.
He asked a question, and this person played it back, and he was like, no.
You understand I'm asking you that question.
You were supposed to know this.
I know, but I can't answer that until you answer my question, which is exactly the same.
So, in other words, transformation is going swimmingly well,
as usual. And I just want
to
follow up from last week.
Yeah.
I wasn't here. Listened to the podcast this morning, and I sort of agree with you that...
Me?
Yes.
Steve,
the whole submitting a ticket, and then he has to go in and prove it himself.
Yes.
It didn't self-approve. I sort of get... I'm sort of on their side. And, you know, the system...
It isn't
that smart to know that the
all
prover...
they needed to do was acknowledge that, you know, it's, the system doesn't do it, so I'm sorry you have to do this. Go ahead and do it. The thing was they got into an argument over it.
Right.
As opposed to just fessing up and saying, dudes, it is what it is. Live with it, okay?
Yeah.
I think we all agreed, maybe other than Dion. that was a technical limitation to the tool, and they just weren't properly explaining or admitting that.
Yeah,
you know, and instead they decided to get into a philosophical conversation about what you can know.
And I approve of this.
But it sort of reminds me, there's been a lot of interesting studies, a semi-related point. I don't know if you've ever... I find studies on medical malpractice hilarious because there's a lot of social gaming that goes on, and like a lot of studies have shown... that doctors are told never to say you're sorry, and there was recently a law that was passed, I think in Connecticut or something, where a doctor's apology can't be used against them in court if you sue them off that. But what they found is if doctors say they're sorry and they have like better bedside manners and more empathy, like the urge to sue goes down to like almost zero.
Yeah,
and that's why people tend to sue, is because like you've done something that they feel was wrong, and then you just refuse to admit it. You know, it is there's something about that. You know, to use Dion's phrase, that when you're being shat on your face,
yeah,
and you know they claim that it's just raining.
I did see Dion. He did submit a ticket this week, and the last line is, "And I approve this."
Yes,
I love him trying to circumvent the workflow.
He sent that to all of us just so that we knew that anytime he opens a ticket now, he is saying, I approve. Yes. I want to do this, and I also approve of it. Please move ahead.
Someone in the rooms was saying it sounded like a campaign slogan. Like,
he sounds like a politician. He's a politician.
Approve this ticket.
You're talking about the healthcare system. I think you touched on something that kills me. It seems like the humanity has left the healthcare industry.
Oh, totally.
And it's because of the legal world getting involved, right?
Yeah, exactly. And everything they've done, which apparently will protect them in a future lawsuit, but you could tell it's a lawyer advice because, like, we want to protect you in a future lawsuit, but we also want you to get sued because that makes us necessary.
Yeah.
So basically be, you know, distant... You know, ignoring assholes, which can't be used against you in court, but will make people want to sue you. Like, you could tell, like, the whole system is set up. It almost creates confrontations now because everyone's so distant and uncaring and so on.
And yet we still want to portray the old doctor with the doctor's bag as having great bedside manner and coming and doing house calls and all of that, right?
Yeah.
So it's just such a disconnect between what's really going on. And then that sort of leads us to apparently something happened in the UK recently with a vote. And the only reason I tie it to this is a lot of what was argued for was we're spending like $300 million every week sending it to the EU, and we should be throwing that at our healthcare system, right?
Yeah.
And immediately after the vote was, yes, let's get out of the EU, the people who were saying that was like, we never promised that. We never said we were going to take that money and put it
Did
there.
Did you listen to that interview?
Oh,
that
it was amazing. I love that that reporter wouldn't let him out of it. Yeah,
drilled
she's like, wait, you're saying now those funds won't go to the national healthcare system now? And he's like, I wouldn't have used those words in that commercial. She's like, people voted for that reason.
Yeah, that
like,
was the platform.
Yeah, he was like, that was a mistake.
We probably shouldn't have campaigned like that. Yeah.
All this time, we've been thinking that Donald Trump is kind of off the rails, and here we go.
Well, I always find those kind of arguments disingenuous because it's like, well, whatever relationship is going to replace your relationship with the EU, my guess is the administrative costs of that relationship are probably going to be close to whatever you are paying into the EU. You know? I mean, so it's not like it's just $300 million that now you keep. And you know it's total savings. You know, like you're gonna have to create other agencies or some processes,
and they're still gonna have to like coordinate deals with all of these individual countries effectively now, right? They're still gonna have to figure out how they're gonna take those funds that we're currently feeding this animal and feed a totally different animal, which is your
Well, I think I read that,
but it is
almost all the money that they paid to the EU actually came back into the UK,
through
farmers and subsidies that organizations earn. Yeah.
Yep.
But to play devil's advocate, isn't it like kind of an argument between like federalism and like republicanism and like just generally like not like the federation of the EU where that it's marching towards? Like, don't you want some type of more local control over your local things? Like, even if it's short-sighted, like, isn't there a human impulse to be like, you know, like local government type of thing. Like, isn't there something to be said for that? Like having control over your.
Well, I don't
want to
get political.
Instead of dictating.
Because Lord knows we never get political.
No, never.
Podcast, but because that's exactly what has been happening over eons. Is our world is becoming, you know, smaller and smaller and chunked up into smaller bits where you can control what's happening in your local market, your local region, your local country. We're not like breaking down the world making the world a smaller place. We're making the world a bigger place by separating. That's exactly what's been happening over the time, right?
Yeah, I agree.
Yes?
I agree completely. Yes.
So clearly this is a brilliant idea. We should do more of that.
Well, I guess it's a totally...
It's exclusionary.
It is, totally naturally
it is ridiculous. It's, you know, it's Donald Trump putting up walls. It's their version of the same thing.
Yeah, it's anti-immigration at the core, I feel.
Yes.
You know?
Well, and you're spouting the idealist yeoman farmer Thomas Jefferson sort of perspective when in reality the world's getting bigger and bigger in that it's more local. It affects us more directly. And, I mean, some of the people you're quoting in this is Nigel Farage. This is the UKIP party. That's like if we had a multi-party system, it would be the farthest right of our Republican Party.
Yeah.
Is that system. And that's the group that was – I'm sorry, I'm going back now, but that's – they were promising the NHS thing. Well, he's the guy who then denied it on national TV after he
got did you see his speech at the EU thing?
Oh, yeah.
He's just like, no, none of you guys have had a job in your life.
You never worked a day in your life.
Like, knows he's on his last day there just being a total dickhead, you know? Like, you know? I love that the EU's got to play at hardball with him, though.
And get out.
Like, you're not going to have the right of, like, mutual travel and all that. And
we're actually a few days away from all this. Immediately, obviously, we saw what happened to the markets, and the immediate response was, okay, you want out? Get the fuck out, which is basically what the EU said.
Yeah.
And now we're almost a week away from all of that, and you're starting to see the articles going, well, maybe they don't have to do this. Yeah.
There's a loophole here.
Well, I love Cam. Did you see Cameron's quotes today where like they asked him, like, what do you think this is going to be like, you know, if the EU's playing hardball with this right of travel? He's like, well, that's going to be a difficult problem for somebody else. You know, it's basically what he said.
Wash his hands. Yeah, he's out.
It's like...
You know, immediately that was like, oh my God, what's, you know, seriously? Yeah. He's just stepping down. And now it's like, makes so much sense.
Yeah, yeah. Well, because now I think he's also, I think the conservatives wanted him to also be the fall guy for when this is all fucked up, you know, and now they got to take the reins of this. I'm like, oh, holy shit.
Clearly, I was wrong. Somebody else should be in charge.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what he said.
Well, the flip side of this is that there's been some good articles. And my favorite was it kind of the British, because of all this, lost their favorite pastime, which is getting together in pubs and making fun of Americans for being the stupidest people in the world.
Oh, best headline I saw.
It was hilarious. So they can no longer do that.
Yeah. Best headline out there was British lose the right to claim that Americans are dumber.
Exactly.
Done. Well, no longer dumb Americans.
I just want to say that for the record, I would not have voted for the Brexit. And I would have voted to stay in the EU.
Yeah.
Would you really?
I really would have. Yeah. I know you guys were dying to.
Even though you didn't have that opportunity.
Yeah. I think we should join the EU.
So I saw today, I actually shared this with Stephanie. Have you seen the sort of mock-up of the latest Australian flag? You know what the Australian flag is, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, and then at one point they wanted the internet to choose it or something like that,
but
right?
But it's a field of blue.
Yeah.
And there's some stars in the field on the right. And then in the upper left-hand corner is the Union Jack. And somebody went and added, I'm with stupid, pointing at the Union Jack.
That's amazing.
So it was pretty good. Pretty good.
But not that the UK had a bad enough week with that. Should we talk about
Soccer, football.
Yeah,
football.
Yeah. Soccer, football.
They lost
thing?
To Iceland.
Iceland, I believe it was. Yes.
Didn't even realize they had a team.
Yes.
They left the EU twice, and is Iceland in the EU? Probably not. I guess.
No.
Yeah.
One of our cohorts, UK based cohorts, referred to the fact that he was now looking at Iceland as an opportunity to move to because. Clearly, they have better football and maybe wouldn't have voted to leave the EU.
But I respect the British way that they fall on their swords as soon as they are defeated. You know, the Prime Minister stepped down right away.
Yep.
The football coach resigned immediately.
Immediately. Yep.
Next day. He's like, I am done. I am no longer fit to coach this team.
Well, that's, you know, somewhat honorable.
Sign of respect, yeah.
I lost. I'm out.
Right. Totally different than America, you know, where we, you know.
I will burn this country to the ground.
I will burn this team to the ground before I resign.
Oh, excellent. So I saw somebody posted, a listener posted that he wanted to create a Le Brexit, which was Lebanon. Wow. Exit effectively. So he wants Lebanon to exit the
Middle
East. Oh, I
thought
that was
a LeBron Cleveland.
No.
Middle East.
Nope.
So it's basically Lebanon floating out into the Mediterranean Sea.
Yep.
Next to Sicily, was it?
Get them out of the Middle East.
Coast all around. I like it.
I saw one of the newspapers in Chicago had an article, a joking article, but then it also had moments of seriousness about Chicago leaving Illinois, you know? Like the shy exit, you know?
Yeah, well, and that's, you know, when you look at what happened, Scotland is now looking at leaving the UK again, talking about it. Northern Ireland is saying, fuck this, we'll go back to, like, being one united Ireland, because that's stupid. London voted to stay. It's like all these pockets that clearly were thinking one way, and then all of the backwoodsy, and apparently it was age also.
I'm
so
sure.
The older crowd wanted to leave the EU and go back to being proper English, proper UK.
Yeah.
I don't like all the politicians doing this. I think we should bring back, like, Braveheart and have just these old battles where they separate from
freedom.
The UK. Freedom! Yeah.
Well, I know you guys, not all of you guys watch, but, you know, we could go right back to, you know, kingdoms, and all of a sudden you're in Westeros in Game of Thrones land.
Realms, go back to the world of realms.
Every one of these groups has no longer the United Kingdom.
Yeah.
Did you see Gibraltar, too, is thinking about leaving?
Gibraltar is leaving, yes, or considering. Yep.
They're going to shut down the straits.
Yeah, it's over.
Cut off trade.
I love
world.
Those countries that just have, like, this one thing, these, like, you know, kind of, like, tiny countries that have this one thing the entire world depends on, like, the Panama Canal.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
One of my, straits just to show, like, you know, kind of American hypocrisy is, like the Panama War, I think, is, like, absolutely hilarious because, like, Manuel Noriega said that he was going to close the Panama Canal and all negotiations were off because the U.S., like, technically owns it, you know? And we invaded the country 48 hours later. But I love what we called it was called Operation Legitimate Cause, which I think is such a hilarious... Like, only America would have the balls to call an operation that's a straight-up, you know, smash and grab.
Right.
Operation Legitimate Cause. Oh. It's like seriously? When the mob, whenever you see those mob guys on trial, like, I'm just a legitimate businessman, you know?
That's
100% true. Or it might have been Just Cause. It's either Just Cause or Legitimate Cause. I can't remember which. But we basically declared war, like, 48 hours. Like, it was so expensive, the queuing up of ships, that it was, like, within 48 hours that we declared war.
I'm not sure. Yeah, because Just Cause was a video game title, right?
So maybe it was Just Cause. It's either Legitimate Cause or Just Cause was the name of the operation.
Wow.
They're basically like the phrase with the twins, Steve. That's what they're like.
Yeah.
Westworld reference.
So let's just drift into political world in our
it was Operation Just Cause, not Legitimate
side of
Cause,
the world. Trump, John, you shared something recently. Apparently, he's chosen some speakers.
Well, it's funny because this came out. Bloomberg yesterday reported that, you know, someone in Trump's team leaked who they want to have speak at his convention or the Republican convention, and it was a list of people like Mike Ditka. There was a race car driver. And then it was Mike Tyson.
And Bobby Knight.
And Bobby Knight.
That's what it was. So, I mean, all these people in the past have said they support Donald Trump. So maybe that's where they got
this list.
But
wait, find anybody who's actually publicly said we'll support him. Bring him in. We'll have him talk. It'll
be the
perfect.
Funny thing is, Trump has said is he doesn't want to have a campaign or a convention like traditional because he doesn't want a bunch of politicians talking. He wants to have a convention of winners. So he actually said,
he did say that.
We are all winners. We want this convention to be about winning.
So I guess Chris Christie's out. Huh?
Yeah.
So he wants to have a night of sports heroes. But as soon as this.
Hey, can we get Muhammad Ali?
Yeah.
Can we get
is
Muhammad
he still
Ali
around?
Coming in?
Yeah.
Oh,
but
shit.
Is he still Muslim?
But there was a backlash as soon as he announced, you know, Mike Tyson because, you know, he's a convicted rapist.
Yeah.
So he kind of loses the female vote for, so he's blaming the press for making that story up.
Making up?
Yeah.
I don't think Bloomberg would just make it up. I'm sure, yeah, somebody.
Yeah.
Well, and Bobby Knight, his whole career was always getting in trouble for rape comments. Like, I remember, you know, he told Connie Chung, if rape is inevitable, you should sit back and enjoy it.
Yeah.
And they all just come across as assholes. Whatever you think of them as sports figures, like Mike Ditka, Bobby Knight particularly, here you have a candidate who's struggling with an image of being a misogynistic asshole, and then he picks assholes to talk at the convention. Like, it's...
So you're saying that he's saying that, no, this is not true, we do not want these people.
He only denied Mike Tyson.
He denied Mike Tyson.
Oh, okay.
He only denied Mike Tyson. And he didn't, unequivocally deny it. He said Mike Tyson has not been asked to speak at the convention, though I'm sure he would give a great speech. He's a winner.
He's a winner.
So a case of double negative would make a positive,
yeah.
Ideally,
yeah.
For him.
So I don't know. My guess is Trump probably floated it. And
I'm
everyone
sure
was like,
floated.
No.
And Ditka just said he knew nothing about it either.
Yeah.
But I'm sure Ditka's people know something about it.
Yeah,
but
it'd be interesting
because I'm not a good speaker. I am short and sweet, so hopefully they don't want me to talk for a long time.
this was Ditka.
Yeah.
That's actually a level-headed, I understand what I am kind of response.
I'm sure he'll promote his wines and steaks and whatever else.
Just like Trump.
Just like Trump.
Next to the Trump steaks, the Ditka steaks are the best steaks. Oh man. Well, because every politician has already given him the cold shoulder and, you know, saying they're not going to speak, they're not going to attend.
Every politician, because Christie came out like...
Well, the ones that are already on the Trump train, like Christie and Newt Gingrich, are going to do it.
Yeah.
But, like everyone else has said no that I know of, you know, so...
Pretty much people who want a cabinet post.
Yeah.
They're saying they'll chat.
Yeah.
Sure. I'll talk. Whatever. Well, I'm looking forward to this latest U.S. border control. Apparently, they're... seeking, Stephanie, you shared this. Do you want to talk about the fact that they are asking for more?
I mean, essentially, they want people who are applying for visas to enter the U.S. to mention their social media accounts when they're seeking entry.
So they don't have access already
if somebody may or may not be a threat, but it's an optional segment of the application. So you may or may not, and so the argument is, if you refuse to put it down, as if somebody in today's world doesn't have a social media account, is that going to reflect badly on
your
application?
Right. Well, if you're like a foreign national coming into the United States and there's an official form here and it says, you know, what social media networks, you know, give me your social media names, right? So what's your ID? Are you going to go, well... I'm just not going to put anything down. Or are you going to go, well, I want to get into the country, so I'm going to just, I'll put it down because I don't want to get dinged somewhere along
sure.
the line, right?
Yeah.
So just having it on the form is kind of ridiculous.
Yeah.
And it's this line of, you know, personal information. Look, here's my passport. What else do you need? Why do you need more than this?
As
right?
if we don't have access for people who are a threat anyway or who may become a threat. I mean, it just seems like a... Okay, we're not powerful enough, therefore let's bully you a little further.
And
in a country where we're all about sort of freedom of speech and free press, it seems ridiculous to me personally. I mean, I was just reading an article today, too. I think it was Egypt who recently, what's the right word? I guess deported one of its citizens who was a major, I wish I had her name on hand. Anyway, she was a talk show host, and she opposed the current government, and the next day, and she was originally from Beirut, Lebanon,
mm-hmm.
the next day somebody, it was secret police, showed up at her house.
Yeah.
Her daughter's Egyptian, born and raised in Egypt, showed up at her house and in front of her daughter sent her back to Lebanon. And
yeah.
she's fighting the case right now, and it was because she was one of the few people, and their whole government right now is doing this, right?
And,
okay.
This is where we're headed.
And yet, yeah.
Which, technically, it's weird, too,
right?
Because it's like, you know, if you're going to programmatically troll that, are you gonna pay somebody, and then it's like they're probably gonna have to do some sort of verification, well, is that really you anyways? And then it's like, well, then why'd you even ask for it if you're gonna go about looking for provenance anyways? And then what do you
would you need on hand full time
yeah
to
what
look
would
through all
well
the
they have software
then,
to
the
my buddy actually has a it. My buddy has a private company that does that for mm-hmm. Stock companies and companies that have to worry about information leak, but it just seems like, well, what would you like? To me, it's like, why would you ask? It's like, if you already have an automated solution for gathering social media requests or posts and making decisions off that,
yeah,
just run it
point?
Against the profile anyways, you know. Mm-hmm. Why put the person in an awkward no-win position? Although secondly, I don't even know what decisions you could make, because I feel it's like the relevant stuff I would imagine would be like convictions and your personal network that's offline, not what you say online.
So yeah. I tried to think about why.
Yeah.
Why? What would be the goal here? And the only thing I think might have some value is you're limiting your scope, right? So now I've got foreign nationals, which we have to, you know, be very untrustworthy of.
Mm-hmm.
In country, I have their social media accounts. I can see if they're trying to rally troops or do something in that
yeah.
social sphere, and it's a focused search. But these people are not, you know, the organized people are not doing that.
Yeah, sure. Exactly. Well, that's what I mean. Exactly. Yeah.
It just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, exactly.
It's some simplistic, you know, government official saying, well, I'm sure he's tweeting that he's going to kill everybody in this market.
Yeah.
And
we
this guy's
knew
passed
that.
All security checks, but he's got a picture of a, you know, assault rifle. Should we flag him? What do you think? I don't know.
Well, it's another form of profiling, too, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah.
Before you get in, we need you to like America on Facebook.
You have to like.
Oh, you're good now.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just, yeah, obviously, like, anyone who is a legitimate terrorist is not going to have a Facebook profile under their real name. I mean, fucking grade school teachers don't have Facebook profiles under their real name. Like, an international terrorist is not going to have a true Facebook profile with him as a terrorist.
And if they did, why in God's name would they announce it on their visa application?
Yeah.
And then you're just hurting people who feel like privacy laws matter.
Yep.
Who don't want to put that information down. I mean, to me, it seems like an excuse to say, look, we're doing something to stop terrorists on their way into the country.
Well, it's only going to get better with a Trump presidency. That's my point. It's only going to get better.
One other thing about the Trump convention I thought was funny was the entertainment.
The music acts are pretty great.
They're going to have music acts all over the city at different locations, and I think we still should go.
Yeah.
I put it out on the our team calendar.
What are the acts?
Brett Michaels from Poison. Brett Michaels is one. I'm guessing Ted Nugent's going to be
Ted
there.
Ted Nugent. I think Kid Rock, maybe.
Kid Rock.
Girls with
the crowd. I thought one thing that's very interesting, no matter where you are politically or musically, I think we almost have universal agreement that liberal musicians on whole are better than conservative musicians.
Whoa. You may have crossed a line.
I mean, because, like, Republicans are always getting in trouble for using liberal musicians' music.
Hey, have you heard Stranglehold by Ted Nugent? That is one of the greatest fucking songs ever created.
We don't all agree on that, you know?
You know what, Sean? Walk that back.
So, speaking of liberal musicians, I had somebody, I got to find this. Somebody sent me something about something Steve Earle did. Was it Steve Earle? I think it was Steve Earle.
Very liberal musician.
Extremely liberal musician. He apparently said something, you know what, I thought I had it here at hand. I don't. Talk amongst yourselves. There's got to be something else you guys can talk about while I dig this out.
Steve Earle, one of those musicians who beat all his drugs and then got surprisingly fat. Like, looks. Have you ever seen old photos of Steve Earle and, like, with the way he looks now? Like, now he looks like a bookish English professor. I love Steve Earle.
I love Steve Earle, too.
Yeah, he's great. Really, he played Chicago recently at the City Winery, and I wasn't able to go, but I regret.
Steve went to that show. Right?
I went to that show.
Oh, you did? Was it good?
Yeah, it's very good.
Yeah, Steve Earle's
great. I took friends who I knew were who leaned a little more conservative.
It
was a little more it was awkward.
Very was it awkward. Like the Neil Young anti-war stuff, or what was it?
Yeah, there was.
His banter in between songs is always like, So, the oligarchs are fucking us. it's like very Woody Guthrie and, like, he's like, we're all getting fucked, but hopefully we can all work together here and burn the whole system down. Anyways, here's my next dude. Like,
effectively, I can't find it now.
Try the Merlot. The Merlot.
The Merlot. Effectively, what he was saying was something to the effect of, cause there's no country music anymore in this world.
Oh, I totally agree with that.
All the country music that is being produced right now is music that is rap music for people who don't like black people.
That's a great quote.
That was effectively his quote.
That's so accurate. Yeah.
And yet, in the same year, Beyonce is going to come out with something that'll win a country music award.
Yeah. Hilarious. It's so right. I love old school country. Like, I love Waylon Jennings, Johnny Cash, you know, Steve Earle, all that stuff. That's so itch. It's funny. I went to Nashville last year, and I was like, we went to a couple of, like, old school bars, and I'm like, oh, this is amazing. And then we went to, like, really popular places. I'm like, what is this horse shit?
Right.
You know, like, I feel like I'm watching Kid Rock, which is fine. Like, if you like Kid Rock, that's totally fine, but it's not why I go to Nashville to see. You know what I mean? Like, that's just pop music to me.
Yep.
You know? Yeah.
That's totally pop music. I think that's... and that wave kind of was coming in back when Garth Brooks was breaking, right?
Yeah.
Like he was turning it towards...
He sort of polished it and homogenized it, you know? Yeah, and then... Other people added, like, basically rap and beat elements to it.
My nephews who live in Georgia, whenever I say, you know, talk about their music, like, oh, it's not country, it's Southern rock.
Yeah.
So it's...
See, Southern rock to me is like Lynyrd Skynyrd and
right.
Alabama and all that kind of stuff, but, you know, probably means different things. I like Southern rock, too.
What music? You had another music story, didn't you?
What was that?
The Led Zeppelin?
Oh, thing? The Led Zeppelin. So I don't have this in front of me, but the trial notes... John, I'll get another one too, please. Were hilarious. So Led Zeppelin, which they were acquitted of, and they say they basically could have had a slam dunk case if they didn't have such an over the top lawyer. So everyone just said it's a federal case. So the press.
So the little background, right?
Oh yeah. So let me start with the background. There was sort of like a similar group that never became as popular in England.
What was the name of the group?
Is it Mirage?
No,
or
something really weird like
can
that.
Do you mind Googling it? But
I'll look it up. Okay.
Spirit or
something? Yeah, it might be
it
Spirit.
It might be Spirit. Yeah, yeah. It's something like that. And they were very new wave 70s, drug, long jams, instrumental breaks. And they opened for Zeppelin 1 year, and they have a song that is exactly the same chords as Stairway to Heaven. It's sung
Spirit.
Yeah, it's sung in the same key. Both English bands. And Zeppelin has a long history of stealing, like, blues artists, like, whole songs without crediting.
Yeah.
You know, they did that to Willie Dixon and a bunch of people. So, the estate of the guy from Spirit who wrote all their songs, he's dead, but the estate sued him, okay?
Right. There was some agreement before he died between them personally, and it came back up because the estate went, well, you don't have an agreement with us.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And Zeppelin was notorious for doing that with old blues artists and everything, too. They would reach these handshake agreements without lawyers and undersell these people because they had such a, you know, a position of strength over them. But so anyways, this lawsuit happens, and just the description, Rolling Stone had these amazing updates on it. So like, you couldn't have cameras inside, so they're just describing it. They're like, it was really weird, because both sides look like rock stars, but one basically looks like, you know, Led Zeppelin, like they've all had plastic surgery, they're in $700 suits, scarves, you know, fancy jewelry. And then you have, like, the guys that would play, like, at a street festival, like, they're just, like, balding with long hair and, like, bandanas. And I guess the lawyer for Spirit had a briefcase that's shaped like a guitar amplifier, and he apparently objected all the time. Like, he had just, like, almost like there, like, people were saying, like, I don't know if he's actually a lawyer, or if he just, so somebody would say, like, well, Mr. Robert Platt, now you are the lead guitarist.
Objection!
You know, he would just object. It was something like, he just, apparently they lost the case because this guy annoyed the jury so much.
Oh, that's funny.
And I guess he also, like, every time they tried to play the song to show the similarities, which is like the core of the whole argument, he would keep objecting. He'd be like, objection,
so,
and like
irrelevant.
Yeah. So it was the estate of Randy California Wolf, who died, and that's California in quotes, who died in 1997. And the quote, who is this quote from? I can't tell who this quote is. The judge. While it is true that a descending chromatic four-chord progression is a common convention that abounds in the music industry, the similarities here transcend this core structure. So this was like saying why there's a legal proceeding. I just love the language in that.
Yeah,
right? Like they're making it this entire thing that they have to discuss, and the reality is that these deals, as you say, were going on all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And they were all like high in the back of, you know, some club going, yeah, that's awesome. Do you mind if I use it? No, go ahead. You're good.
The song is called Ataris. I'm trying to find more on this lawyer, but he previously, like, he's like a mob lawyer. He's just real flashy.
Pretty much like Better Call Saul.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, but like without like the actual.
Francis Alexander Malafi.
Yes. Who goes by Freddy.
That's the name. Freddy.
Fast Freddy.
Fast Freddy.
Yep. That's funny.
Oh dear. Well, it's gone.
Zeppelin won.
They didn't throw it out of court.
And according to the Rolling Stones updates that I've been reading, that lawyer Freddie pretty much blew it for him. But you know, people were saying like if they had won, like they didn't know what. And you're talking about one of the most successful songs in rock and roll history. Like they had no idea what the judgment would be and
the price.
I mean it would have been insane. You'd think if Freddie really fucked himself. You know?
I just love the image of these balding fat guys.
Yeah.
With a lawyer with a guitar amp briefcase walking into court, scarves dragging from their.
I think that's such a bad look. I mean, I guess, you know, maybe you feel like you got to keep it because that's who you are on stage, but.
Yeah, again, disagree, Sean, completely.
Yeah. Yeah, you think it's a good. Yeah.
No.
It's just funny, like, all those guys who keep that look, and it just doesn't age well. Like, I think, like, people in the Stones and all that, like, they've had so much plastic surgery, and they have so many people helping them look, you know, the way they look, and they still can kind of pull it off, but, like, you know. Whenever I go to a street festival and they have some band from the 80s, I'm like, oh, geez, guys, like, just, you know, tighten up the hair a bit. And, you know, just admit that you're in your 50s. There's nothing wrong with that, you know?
This is coming from Sean, who intentionally wore a comb over.
That is true.
Which I'm sad I never
in
got
my
to
20s.
See. But I totally agree, but I will say that I'd rather look like the aging carnival guy than Steven Tyler nowadays. Like, that is just creepy.
That's scary.
Creepy.
Yeah.
The fact that you had to do that to yourself to feel however you want to feel. That's just
crazy. That is crazy.
But he's still pretty damn cool.
No.
He seems like a really cool and nice guy. I think so. Oh, I don't know. You don't think so?
You're out on Steven Tyler.
Completely.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
He's got a hot daughter. That's about it.
He's no Jim Peterick, that's for sure.
So I have a kind of a light vendor scum that's going to lead to another story.
Okay.
But so Dion and myself this week received this vendor scum, and the message was how Rio 2016 will be secured in the cloud. See how the Summer Games will be using its $1.5 billion IT budget.
Wow.
I'd love to see how they're spending that $1.5 billion budget.
Oh, that would be great.
Well, $1 billion is going to greasing whatever, you know, hands in the political sphere need to be greased, right?
So they only have a $500,000 left. But anyway, I saw an interesting article this week about the Olympics, how, like, you know, USA always has been the top in technology, or, you know, they have the fastest bikes or the fastest skin suits for the swimmers or whatever. But now I think the rowing teams and the teams that have to be on the water are actually having skin suits made that will protect them from disease.
So wait, so you've got rowers basically in hazmat suits.
Yeah.
They're not going to be full. I mean, they're not going to have like masks on. Well, they might have masks on.
Wouldn't it be more fun?
It would be
fun.
That
would be great.
I'm sure some company or some country will have that.
I think that would be a great
equalizer. Can you put like a plastic dome, almost like the paddle boats or something like that, over your boat? Are the boats, can you customize the boat however you want?
But the oars come out of the
bubble. Yeah, the oars come out. Yeah.
But yeah, they said, you know, it'll cover a good proportion, you know, of their body, but they'll still have areas that are exposed, so they could have, you know, water on their hands or something, but they're protecting the major parts of their body with hazmat suits.
I'm making a ploy for all of the Olympic athletes to wear hazmat suits just as an equalizer, just as a, hey, well done. It's no longer about the uniform. You have to wear this full body hazmat suit with the mask and the whole nine yards. You're going to be running the, you know, performing in the decathlon, right?
Right.
So go ahead and throw the javelin with that on and run. Do it all.
And I think I read an article about they're going to be having the athletes use Zika-proof condoms as well.
Zika-proof condoms?
Yeah, because, you know, historically the Olympics is
they give
out
condoms.
I mean, it's
We talked about super condoms or whatever.
Oh, we did. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
But aren't you needing to be protected from, like, mosquitoes? Isn't that
right?
What?
Yeah.
So I mean,
it's a full body condom.
It's a full body condom. Just like Naked Gun.
And then, and then the woman opens up the condom for the man to get inside it. And they make love like sharks.
Like sharks.
They zip it back up so that mosquitoes can't get in. And...
Oh, jeez.
I just don't understand how you could have a Zika-proof condom. That makes more sense, Sean.
There's hilarious, like, the list of, like, things they've warned could go wrong. Like, they're almost like, if you're ever getting your son, like, a chore, and he's like, oh, yeah, I totally did that. I'm like, well, I go in there, it's going to be done. He's like, well, this might be a little different than, like Rio's saying, like, all they're, like, I guess they're saying, may not be enough water to run the whole city for all 10 days.
First, number one.
Like, the Velodrome might not be built.
They just throw that one in there. Well, they started with stuff like, oh, by the way, we're going to deal with rain, we're having some visa problems, so non-essential personnel may not get in. Then they get, algae's going to be weird. Then they just go, we may not have enough water.
Well, that we actually...
Security.
I guess local broadcasters are hiring goons to prevent other networks from broadcasting stuff.
That's awesome.
That's hilarious.
But that brings... Again, Stephanie shared this. But the Rio police, apparently, in the airport recently, held up this banner that says, welcome to hell. They are saying that you're in Rio.
Yeah.
Here you are. Welcome to hell. It's a bit of a protest on their part, but they're effectively telling all of the visitors that come in, you're going to die. We have, you know, we don't have enough people.
Well, it has the highest murder rate in the world, yeah. Doesn't it? Yeah. Its murder rate is
police
higher.
And firefighters aren't getting paid.
Yeah, they're not getting paid.
They
yeah.
Don't care.
Well, they just asked for a loan from the country, and the mayor was like, "Listen, if you don't give us a mayor, these Olympics are going to be a fucking disaster."
They said a financial disaster. This is going to be
a
mess.
It's already a financial disaster, and it's going to get worse on that end. But if it becomes a bigger like security issue. What are the different countries coming? How are they securing their people? That's my question. Does this spawn like whole security forces being hired by Olympic teams?
They
that
have
are
to.
Coming
they have
in?
To have the private yeah. security.
Yeah,
I think they will have that. I do think that Rio might just decide. I feel like it's such a corrupt country that it might say like, listen, we can't afford to have a real big black guy, so you just tell these cops or whoever. Like, you just find me some money and you tell these people they are to protect it and I don't care how they do it. Yeah. Like, I don't want to learn, I don't want to know the details, but I don't care what you do.
I feel like everyone on the Olympic Committee should be fired. Who chose for you?
Well, this happens all the time though, right? It's always such a, that's why I actually thought we might win. I'm like, oh God, we know how to. Because Chicago was up for these Olympics,
we
and lost
to Rio.
Rio.
We lost in the first round.
And I was like, well, Chicago knows how to get like a, you know, envelope deal sealed. You know, we'll get these for sure, but... We're good at North American bribery, but South American bribery, I feel, is at another level.
Yeah, look at FIFA. I mean, they're corrupt in the...
Yeah. Oh, yeah, FIFA's ridiculous, too, yeah. I mean, all of those agencies are... Yeah. All of in America, it's actually corrupt. It's just legal. Like, the way you get taxpayers, like, what's the city? Is it the Texas Rangers are leaving a baseball stadium? Atlanta, both of them are leaving stadiums aren't even 20 years old.
Atlanta's got a new stadium, yeah.
Atlanta's getting a new stadium, not even 20 years old. Wow. Taxpayer financed, you know. St. Louis wants that. You know, you have this city that is struggling with poverty and crime. And
well, St. Louis, no, they just built their stadium.
They just got a new baseball stadium.
No,
they lost the
football team. Yeah. Because so St. Louis did stand up for it, against it, I should say, which is good.
Yeah, the public actually made a good call there.
Yeah, but I mean, this is a level. Oh, no, this is what they found in Texas. Okay, so Texas Rangers got a new one, okay? And the Rangers were bragging about how, well, we're paying for half of it. But then they never released the deal until it's finalized. They've just released the details. And the Rangers basically are allowed to keep all the taxes that were increased for getting... So basically, the Rangers aren't paying this. There's this, like, shell game that the politicians agree to with the Texas Rangers, where they increase taxes to fund this new stadium for them. The taxes then go to the Rangers,
yeah.
Who then pay back the government for their share of the stadium.
Ugh,
I mean, it's amazing. Yeah, it's money. It is money
but
laundering.
But when did they get a? Because their state, I've been to the Texas Rangers Stadium way back in the 80s. You're saying they've had a stadium since then.
It is not built yet. This was just, the agreement was just announced for
right,
the Texas
but,
Rangers.
But this was like in the 80s. Their stadium, which I visited, was shit. I mean, it was bad.
Well, but they got a new one in the 90s, I
so
thought.
So that's my question.
Yeah, yeah. So, they got a new one in the 90s, and now they're getting a new one again. Because they had a new one when Juan Gonzalez and all them were playing there.
The way sports funding happens, and that's criminal. It's all criminal.
It is.
Absolutely criminal. but that's... I don't want to talk about that anymore. It's depressing. Do you have anything else on that, Sean?
I don't. Well, that was John's thing with the Olympics, too.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Well, I think we should have a weekly kind of update on
it.
Olympics
will be fun when
it's
going to actually...
be comical as we get closer and closer.
Speaking of sort of weekly updates, so we've recently embarked on a little project, and I'm not going to read all of these, but... we're looking at our profile data, which our company has allowed us to, open up the profile and allow people to create new elements of a category. So we have different categories, like, for example, our marketing category segments, things like, traditional categories, men, over, 35, kids, those kinds of categories. And recently, as we've been looking at these, there are some interesting ones that have been added to the list by our community of users, shall we say. And some of these are kind of fun. So has anybody heard what a parasite woman is?
A parasite woman?
Yes.
No.
Glad we have HR in here.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's my job, right?
I will let Stephanie tell us what a parasite woman is. This apparently is a term that is used not necessarily just women, but parasite
singles.
Women.
Parasite singles.
Parasite singles, but generally it's a derogatory term in Japan. And
right. So I came across this term when I was dealing with things we use here.
Yes.
And parasite singles was something that came up when I sort of went and said, is this even a thing, or is someone really just that offensive? And it turns out that it's the translation of a Japanese idea, which is anyone who's living at home sort of past their expiration date, let's say, when they should be married and they should be independent
20s
financially.
20s to 30s.
Right. Younger Japanese people who should be outside of that. So somebody put down as their specialization in advertising parasite women, as in young women living at home
well,
in Japan
is, in
a certain
in the U.S.,
group.
When you buy a house or any legal documents, men who are not married are unmarried man or spinsters for women. They still
spinsters,
use
spinsters. They still use
they
the
still
term.
Use
as a legal term,
that's
right.
A legal term in contracts. Spinsters.
Well, yeah, but tell me that the English translation into parasite.
That's horrible.
I mean,
yeah.
that's pretty nasty. So that was one of the favorites of the
yes,
week,
that,
for sure.
That is clearly one of the favorites. But there's a whole list of them here, and I don't know how many of these will share over time. But another one that was in that list: men that seek performance improvement. You can figure out.
Well, we're already sending a lot of ads to those people.
That's a consumer segment that we need to target. Yeah. Apparently, thin girls, not healthy girls.
Oh no, but that was under
thin,
interest.
Like T-H-I-N.
Thin.
Specifically under interests.
Interests.
Oh,
what
interest.
Am I interested in?
I'm sorry.
See, that's in a job interview. Interest, thin girls.
This is on someone's work profile. They have put down an interest as thin girls. And gotten away with it for God only knows how many months.
Oh my
really.
Gosh, that sounds like an old 80s joke. Like, what are your interests? Twins, blondes, oh my God.
Actually,
wait, this is actually in our directory?
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's
it is.
Hilarious.
And I double-checked to make sure that this wasn't just like a fluke thing. No, someone has put this
you
down.
Send that profile over to us.
On their profile. Actually, one of my favorites of the week for consumer segment experience was Happy Meal Moms.
Happy
someone
Meal Moms?
Put that down as a certain type of woman. Who is
well,
a
that
happy
I've,
meal
I've
mom.
Heard that phrase before. Yeah. That phrase I have heard before.
And, that one I didn't squawk at. You liked that one. As somebody who's, not spent a fair amount of time in this business, but I do believe that that is considered, it's like soccer moms.
Yeah, it usually means on-the-go moms, you know. Yeah.
So, you know, a term like soccer moms, happy meal moms, is a similar kind of, it provides a nuance to what that mom
is. Okay, devil's advocate for a minute there, though. You know, again, as a woman and a young woman, that I feel that that's a little bit offensive in the sense that, like, why is it not just mom on the go or mom? Why does it have to be, you know? She's part of the American consumer society to such a degree
they were so busy that they can't even, they don't even have time to make lunch.
Yeah.
I would say would be the point of the phrase.
Yeah.
So you do happy meals, just, you know. But, yeah, I that's how I would read the phrase.
I mean, but it's a McDonald's term, too. So it's making the identifier a company. I mean, that's such an American thing. You would never do that in another society as well.
That's probably true, but it's also...
It's not just a feminist problem.
No, that's true.
It's part of a capitalist society's problem.
But it's also concise. Like, it'd be tough to do it without McDonald's. You know what I mean?
Oh, it's
like,
catchy. I'll give you that. Welcome to the ad agencies. You know.
Okay. Can I just, because I'm looking through them again. I'm just going to throw this one out there. Women who want to make the most of their life, as opposed to the rest of the
world. And it was a woman who posted that as well.
That's a target that they,
that is
that they
segment.
Women who want to make the most of their life. That sounds
as
like one of those
of
personal coaches or something like that. Yeah.
I just think they're pretty funny.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Chronic diarrhea sufferer. Was a specific category
as
well.
That's a serious problem.
We see a lot of ads for those people, too.
Here's another one that's actually a term that's used that I did not realize, maybe partially because it's more British. Digital mum, which could be digital mom here as well. But as in a mom who works over the internet from home.
Okay.
That's what the term translates to. I didn't know until I looked into it. But it does sound sort of like you have a robot living at home and taking care of the family.
Yeah.
If you don't know what it means.
So these are fun, and you may get more on a weekly basis if we keep this going.
Thin women is hilarious. Just as an interest.
Thin girls.
Thin girls.
It gets creepier.
My God.
It was thin girls.
That thin girls made me think of a story from last week. So I wasn't here last week because I was flipping my nights and days doing another night job. And so last week was Cannes International Advertising Festival. And one of the headlines that happened last week, so this year, not saying that our agency had anything to do with it, it's very pro-women, you know, trying to get women in advertising, whatever, to be more active and, you know, show their roles. And it's not just a men's boys group anymore, yada, yada. But so one advertising agency, every ad agency has a big party there. So they sent out an invite to all these people, like everyone. And the invite said it basically was calling for attractive females and models only.
I'm sorry, didn't the same film festival last year have a problem with women who weren't allowed to come in if they weren't wearing high heels?
No, this is that's the film festival. This
maybe
is
our
festival.
Maybe our thin girls guy was in charge of this.
Yeah, so
it's like I got the perfect guy to organize this conference.
The invite said, "Gentlemen, please contact our PR department for admission or whatever." So the CEO immediately apologized, and the company that does their PR was fired right away. But
it is amazing. It's a little blunder. Like those, you know, it's amazing those things get through.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, this reminds me. Somebody posted. I don't remember what channel this was in, but that Red Cross thing.
Yeah. Dion posted that where it was, you know, considered racist, and it was a thing about what to do and not do at a pool.
What was cool and what wasn't cool.
Yeah, and it had examples of kids breaking the rules, being not cool, and then kids obeying the rules. It was cool, but it's like, of not breaking it, it almost 4 out of the 5 were black.
Yeah.
And the black kids in this image were almost all being not cool.
Right.
Which is like... You know, how does that get through?
How does it get
through? How does it get through?
How does somebody not look at this and go, wait a minute?
Yeah.
How did we do this? Tell you what, let's move some of these around a little
bit. Yeah, exactly. It's like, what the hell are you...
The drawing
wasn't
bad. It was the labeling that was wrong, putting all of primarily the black kids in the not cool category. It was ludicrous.
Yeah.
And what's even more ludicrous to me is how the Red Cross responded to this, apparently, is they kind of went, oh, yeah, our bad, and they pulled it.
Yeah.
They didn't do anything else.
Yeah.
This is like a group that specifically is there to support and help, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So all they needed to do was kind of go, oh, my God, and start giving money to other groups and be very public and over the top about,
sure,
hey, this is about diversity and inclusion, mm-hmm, and, you know, equality, mm-hmm, and find all of the right organizations to say, here we are, we're going to support this, we're going to do that, we fired this agency, we're evaluating our entire team, the marketing guy is gone, whatever, right?
Yeah.
What market was that in?
It was national.
Oh, it was national.
Yeah. National. It was found in multiple pools, public pools, where they were asked to pull this thing down. It's just ludicrous. Absolutely ludicrous.
Do you remember, was it when London had the Olympics? Or was it was either London or Italy. I can't remember which, but it was, I think, the greatest example of a product just somehow getting so far without anybody. I don't know if when you're on those kind of projects, you just can't see the trees for the forest. But they, I don't know if you remember the first press conference. They had to change the logo because the first press conference they showed their logo. It was four runners, and the four runners were designed abstractly like bolts, but it looked almost exactly like a swastika.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and it was either Turana? What was that Italian Winter Olympics?
Oh, Turano.
It was either that or it was London. I can't remember which. It was, cause I think
no,
they
London
were back
also
to
had a really bad logo that they, like...
They had that abstract cartoon that nobody
liked.
Yeah,
it was like the Simpsons character, yeah, and a sexual... Yeah, something,
yeah,
like that.
I think it was Turano had a Nazi symbol. And, like, the guy just, like, pulls the...
Torino.
Yeah, the guy just like pulls. I remember like the guy just pulling like a drape off the logo, and everyone was like,
gasp.
Are you fucking serious? And like he somehow didn't even see it. And it's like, how do you not?
That actually, I don't know if I probably can't find it, but that reminds me of apparently someone back in the day in Germany actually planted trees in the form of the swastika.
Oh, geez.
And it's still there today because these trees grew up.
Oh, really?
Right? And so there's this big swastika in Germany. I don't know if I'll see if I can find that and drop it in the links with this podcast.
Well, as our biggest ally now, we should probably help them out with that. U.S.'s biggest ally in the world.
On the opposite end of that spectrum, apparently they just found an escape tunnel just outside of, or just on the edge of Lithuania, that were Jews that were forced to dig up old. Oh, this is really, it's really, really sad. they were forced to dig up bodies that were buried and burn them as to leave no proof of people dying in that part of Lithuania. It was under Nazi rule, and there were something like 11 people that survived that particular job. Which they called something like the Burning Men of the time. Anyway, they've just rediscovered an escape tunnel that these people dug back at the time. And
that's
it's just
brutal.
I mean, but of all the finds you're going to have from World War II, that's such a symbol of positivity in so many ways from the time. I mean, at least there is proof of the escape, you know, and people did. There are 11 survivors of that, and, you know, it should have been much better, and it should have been all kinds of other things, but to put it on the other end of that spectrum, they're finding proof of the good in some of that.
Yeah, there was good out of that, but just imagining that there's this thing out there that is this symbol in trees.
Yeah, that survived this whole time. I can't even imagine.
Ugh.
And in Germany.
Yep.
Because, you know, this find was in Lithuania.
Yep. Yep.
So what are the topics we have? We had a couple that you suggested, Steve.
So AI, apparently artificial intelligence, is all over the place right now. I don't know if you saw this. Satya Nadella, the CEO of Microsoft, he just came out with, like, his 9 rules for AI that he's proposing. Everybody's worried about it. You've got good old what's-his-name, the physicist Hawking
what does he know?
Talking about
he's a physicist.
Being an idiot.
Why is he weighing in?
Giving his whole why weigh in kind of approach to life.
Why is he? He's also a genius who's done like some of the most complex
that's
math
right. He's smart.
That's ever
right.
done. You know,
it's math. That's not programming.
But all these.
But it doesn't need. I mean, I'm sure he could pretty easily do programming. I mean, he's done math.
Are you saying he could,
you know,
he could do
on black holes?
I don't think so.
I bet you he could learn Fortran.
I don't think so.
But. Never mind. I'm
Can
not
he
going to go there.
Reinstall a DuraSync server?
Yeah.
That's what
do you
know
about DLL files?
Stephen Hawking, stay in your lane.
It is a very, very hot topic where all of the senior most leaders and thought leaders and business leaders are all chiming in on the subject. Meanwhile, we've got an AI in combat training that is beating all of the best pilots in the world. Did you see this?
I saw that article. Yeah.
I mean... So there's this flight simulator that they put people in it for combat training, and they've established the AI bot that they fly against, and some of our most decorated pilots are being beaten consistently by this thing, which how far away are we from, which is exactly the point of what Hawking's talking about, exactly the point of what Nadella's talking about. AI is going to be able to do things, make decisions faster and less emotionally than a human in such a way that we're just looking at robots that are fighting our wars and you know, fine, if we as a society, a Western society, say one thing, and then there's an Eastern society that says something almost the same but slightly different, and a anarchy society, which is, you know, pick your, whether you want to put, you know, ISIS, ISIL, you know, in that category today, pick your group, your militant, radical group, whatever it is, whether it's small and not organized or very well organized, as we get further down the track, there's going to be one of those people out there that's going to be able to say, hey, I built something that can do what I want it to do, regardless of what the, you know, moralistic rules are.
Yeah.
So this can't be a good idea, right? That we built this thing that can beat all of our best pilots in this country.
It's a great idea.
Oh, but it's brilliant.
Yeah, I've actually, that's funny, I was reading an article today that I posted, and it was, I was linked to it from Drudge Report.
Yes.
As a read for the LOLs. And headline is Killing Machine, Terrorist Actively Seeking to Build Deadly Army of Intelligent Killer Robots, UN Warns. That's a terrifying claim from a piece of authoritative research published by the United Nations. Yada, yada, yada. Terrorists are working to build armies of artificially intelligent killer robots capable of slaughtering vast numbers of innocent
There's robots. No way they'll get there.
And this is the point. So it's like nuclear technology, right? I mean, there's going to be ways that we're going to control all of that.
Mm-hmm.
But
Well, the problem with AI, though, is if you develop one that's just smart enough to learn, you don't know how many times it could procreate itself, right? You know, so in theory, if you – the thing that's kind of tricky about AI is if you just do it a little bit too smart once, it could you know, be what they call the singularity, right? You know, by just creating it a little too smart once. Like, I find this topic fascinating. Like, I can go on and on about AI, but, like – there's this great book called Darwin Among the Machines. It's a very short read, really interesting. I forget the author's name. But he has this way of looking at it with... So what's interesting is there's a lot of views on a technological singularity, like can it or can it not happen? The debate on that. If it does happen, would it mean the machines kill us? Or would it mean... Some people think that machines might look at us the way we look at monkeys. You know, like they'll just fly by us and... leave us alone unless we sort of inconvenience them, you know, like the way we are with monkeys, you know.
Right.
But anyways, in that book, Darwin Among the Machines, they portray it as like maybe we should stop thinking of AI as computers and like the next step in the evolution of life. And he has this quote where... I think it goes like, In the game of life, there are three players. There's nature, humans, and machines. I am firmly on the side of nature, but nature, I fear, is on the side of the machines. And he actually thinks that, in a way, to put it in a narrative, that Mother Earth actually wants us to develop AI to get rid of us. Hmm. We are meant to bring about AI, like the way the dinosaurs brought about birds or something like that.
Well, I kind of am. Interesting. I am of the opinion that Mother Earth, that we are in a battle today with Mother Earth, consciously or subconsciously.
Yeah. Well, we're trying to battle it when we shouldn't be. Yeah.
We are trying to kill it.
Yeah.
And the Earth is kind of trying to kill us back.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a battle that is going on. And guess what? We're going to lose.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and Mother Earth might say, well, Jesus, this AI looks like a great ally.
Exactly, you know, exactly. If it has that level of consciousness, totally.
Mm-hmm.
So George Dyson, I think you said Dyson.
Yeah.
Yes, George Dyson is the writer of that.
I actually forgot the author's name, but it's a really short read, and it's pretty interesting. But
the evolution of global intelligence.
That's yeah.
Cool. I just bought it on Amazon.
Did you just that?
I just did.
Yeah.
The AI helped me pick it up. But I think, like, I love those, like, high-minded philosophical aspects of it. But then there's also, like, the very, like, practical reality of, like, there are going to be decisions that impact human lives now. Like, just imagine, like, a Google, like, the trolley problem in philosophy or something like that, where you have to make some type of choice between killing a small set of people a conscious decision to kill other people. Like, just imagine a Google self-driving car pointed towards a crowd of people. It gets rear-ended or something. It loses control and has to pick between two different sets of people. Like, set of people is it going to pick?
And it'll be, you know, under a certain, you know, rule set, it'd be better at that. But, like, those, are, in my opinion, are corner cases. Like, one of the things, like, we absolutely suck at is estimating large risks. Like, we won't deal with, until a catastrophe happens. We don't deal with global warming until something bad happens.
Or we don't deal with terrorism.
Yeah, we don't deal with terrorism until, and then when we do deal with it, we totally overreact in all the wrong ways, right. You know, because we panic.
Right.
And AI could be, if it were the dominant life form, better at controlling those impulses.
Totally.
Where it's like, no, we're not going to check everybody's fucking shoes. Yeah. All right? Like, it's not going to work.
We did the
And it's just not going to happen.
We
okay?
rolled some dice.
Yeah. Right? It's yeah, like, so just down. Trust us, you idiots.
So, like, maybe it became a D&D thing.
Yeah. And like, by the way, you're going to quit driving those gas guzzlers. Right. You know, like, almost like it could be like a benevolent dictatorship, you know. But you know, who knows? I mean, that's the thing that's so fascinating to me about it. Like, could it help us? Could it kill us? Will it happen? You know, like, it's...
Yeah, and to me, it's that line, right?
Yeah.
That's what I'm curious about. So, the singularity is, you know, we went a little too far, and that's the line.
Yeah.
But that's the line in real terms. The line in practical terms is something totally different. The first time your vacuum cleaner, like, goes... No, sit the fuck down.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or your refrigerator goes, no more ice cream.
Yeah.
Get out of there.
Yeah.
That's what I'm looking forward to in an odd, bizarre way is having my devices tell me,
to your Fitbit
stop
today, Steve.
It.
Get out of the fridge.
Yeah. I talked to your Fitbit and I had lunch and you need to... Lay off the ice
like
cream.
If they became the dominant life form, like, would they look back on today's machines almost like slaves or something?
Yeah,
like, you know, like, we saw the way you treated our ancestors, you know, like, you know,
threw that game controller like 40 times in a week.
That Office Space scene will just be replayed in their history books where they like beat the shit out of the printer in the in the open field. This is what they did to us.
Yeah.
Yes.
But
talking about combat, just one other, going back to politics, one other quote that this week I thought was funny was Trump said, we have to fight fire with fire.
Mm-hmm. Love it.
With
it's
you know,
a great mentality.
When it comes with, you know, to war and waterboarding and everything, he's like, yeah, those ISIS people are over there at their dinner tables. He's like, they're beheading our people and sitting at their dinner tables talking about how weak we are as a country, how we're losers.
Yeah.
We're losers.
So if we could develop this AI and
that beheads people.
That beheads people.
Specializes in beheading people.
Exactly.
We've developed the world's most complex program for the purpose of beheadings.
We will be winners
so we
again.
Can, we call it the winner, the winnerator, the winninator. Oh my God, he's amazing. It, you know what is like sobering that nobody's paying attention is like, at, like as, for as conservative as he is, or Luis he's claiming to, every general and admiral and everything is like, these policies would put us in dire straits. Yeah, like, these would only embolden our enemies. They would put servicemen at, and women at risk. Like, also, they're illegal under every international and U.S. standard. Like, I can't give this order to my subordinates. I can't legally give that order. Like,
So... You know, we talk about Trump, and I know, like, part of the reason Trump is because people keep talking about him, right?
Yeah.
And that whole, I think we talked about this, right? The fact that he has no money.
Right.
Yeah.
And yet, he doesn't need money. He doesn't need
money.
Yeah,
he's a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Because
by claiming to have money and claiming to be good at getting money, people pay him
and the
to talk about
and
it.
And the press keeps talking about it.
Yeah,
and he
exactly.
makes ludicrous comments, and so it's constantly self-fulfilling that he's out there and he's going to continue to be out there. And we're feeding it right here.
Sure.
You know, our three listeners are like, all they're hearing is about Trump. But the reality is, you know, this guy, he's saying all these things. He's getting attacked by the people who have the level heads. And if we just ignored it.
Yeah.
Could we do it? Could this group actually do it? I don't think we can.
I don't think so. I think it's hilarious.
It is tough. It is, I mean, the difference is we would never vote for him, but the media attention is gaining him votes.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Absolutely.
I do think, like, man, if he won, and Lord help us if he did, like, I just wonder what that first meeting would be like with all his military advisors, if he'd be like,
"So
listen, guys, it was all an act."
So the press recently, listen, it's all an act, the press recently is reporting he's now, like, made two speeches that were from a deck. That's like the first time he's ever made speeches from an actual...
Oh, that weren't off,
like,
the top of his head.
Prepared speeches from a deck.
Yeah.
As opposed to off the top of his head.
Yeah.
This is news that this guy is... So, is that handlers doing this? Is that...
They fired the Lewandowski or whatever his name was, and his old, like, campaign manager, and they've got, like, three old veteran hands in there. So, I mean, they've been doing that at many levels of his campaign for a couple of weeks now, or since he locked the nomination, and getting rid of a lot of the old hands and the new hands. So I'm sure part of that is just that.
Is somewhat of a, all right, here's what you're going to read. Don't go off script.
Yeah, but the thing is, it takes like one speech in like Akron, Ohio for him to just flip off again. You never know when he's going to like...
He can't control him.
He can't control
today he said
himself.
He goes, I love waterboarding.
Yeah,
I love waterboarding.
Love it.
Not only can you can't not control him, you can't control his audience.
Oh,
if anything, they're egging them
audience.
On to be worse.
Yeah,
I mean,
it becomes a feedback loop because they like him when he gets crazier, you know, and he can't help himself. And that's how he's become successful, so how are you going to turn it off, you know? I mean, it's...
I blame the media for the most part. They
I
need
definitely
to be more
blame
responsible.
Yep.
Back to reality TV.
Well, see, I blame us, actually, because I feel what we did is we decided we weren't going to pay for newspapers anymore.
Yeah.
So what happened is it's all celebrity news now, right? Like, newspapers are celebrity news, or they troll Twitter for weird, like, hyper-inflammatory stories that are odd incidents and aren't worthy of a, you know, this person left a mean note to a veteran as a tip. Becomes a national story when it never would be 20 years ago when you're dealing with wars and shit. And I think the fact that we refuse to pay for quality news is why we have Trump.
They could have done the honorable thing.
I agree with
and
that.
Gone out of business. I'm kind of serious about that. They could,
bankrupt.
They're trying to. They're trying to unwind all of it. They're selling all their real estate. Like, they're basically, that's what they're doing.
Put up a paywall and write some real journalism.
But we as a society said, when the internet, and I find it tragic that we as a society feel that if it comes over a wire, it should be free. You know, like, Google always says knowledge should be free. Like, knowledge is the most invaluable thing in the world. Like, knowledge should cost something, right? I mean, a guy who creates a book should get money for that. You know, a woman who writes like a how-to thing, like, they should be paid. And we live in a society that thinks, well, no,
everything's free.
If it's on the internet, it should be free.
Yep.
And then it's like, well, then what's going to get posted to the internet if you expect it to be free?
But people, yeah, what's happened is people are getting it free because the advertising dollars are actually supporting it.
Yeah.
And it's just becoming a different business model. That's all.
It is.
So
it is.
They're still getting paid. And it's kind of early days of television, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where a television show was literally paid for by a sponsor.
Mm-hmm.
And they got sponsorship placement and all of that. It's the same thing.
I agree. I think it's very comparable to like 1950s TV, but I think like 1950s TV, the margins are low enough that it's all hastily done, and it's not like the golden age of like, you know, TV journalism like in the 60s and 70s when you had in-depth. Like, how often do we see in-depth reports on the news or our papers anymore?
And that's what hasn't happened to the news world. It's happened to the entertainment world where people are investing more. Yes, there's a lot more programming, but they're investing more on the higher quality stuff. What's become a broadcast television is it's all pretty much cheap.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Yeah,
but anything they can produce on a dime, they're going that way. So that's become the generic stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the HBO world,
which is getting amazing.
Which
you
is
know,
becoming
yeah,
more
that's like
incredible.
Borderline art and great journalism. Yeah.
Well, and the government had it set up where we would have networks that could have free airwaves
yeah.
as long as they provided the news, and yet they need to make money somewhere, and so their argument is, and this has become the problem.
And I actually think, I honestly feel if you watch TV news,
but where's the
it's not that
news?
Bad. TV yeah. news is still not that bad. It's print and internet news that fucking sucks. And print news sucks because internet news sucks.
You think
know?
TV news is doing okay?
Really? I don't think it's as bad as print news. But I don't think like ABC World Report would lead with the Kardashians, you know.
Yeah.
Whereas you could go to abcnews.com and the Kardashians might be there, you know. Like,
well, and yet our most trusted news reporter on TV was Brian Williams.
Yeah, yeah.
He had to get sacked.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's like we're certainly not in the golden era of TV news.
No. Right.
But I would say it hasn't fallen as off the cliff, in my opinion, as print media.
Right.
Well, and print media's argument being that they have to compete with internet news,
exactly.
which has the immediacy factor, so they have to be almost more gossipy in order to get viewers.
Yeah, but that's the point. Like, so they should do some more. They should change what they're targeting. And if they want to be journalists, they should do more rich, long-form content or something that differentiates themselves from.
It's just tough. I mean, the economics like don't work. Everyone says that,
that's
but it's like
so
I
should go out of business and do the honorable thing and stop pretending they're the fourth estate.
All right, we're not going to solve the news problem today. We're not going to solve the political problems today. There's so much we're not going to solve today.
We solved a couple of lunch today, though.
Yeah, we did.
We tried.
The good old college tries.
Well, I hope you wrote it down. Send it to somebody.
We're actually going to expense the lunch. We're going
to
expense the lunch, and Steve's going to write off his taxes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to get the government to pay for
that
one.
Hey, cut this out, by the way.
Cut what?
Yeah, that part.
Oh, that.
You're where the CIA will kill you for solving education.
So I was going to do, we should probably wind down, so I don't know if we have time to do it. I was going to do a quick tech rundown and get, like, opinions. Do we have time for that?
Sure, why not?
7 minutes.
7 minutes.
I'm going to run out like Dion.
7 minutes. It's like AM radio. Traffic and weather on the sevens.
So we've talked about iPhone 7 before. Latest and greatest, it could have a totally new kind of home button. A flush button that's not like a physical button. Yay or nay?
I say nay.
Nay.
I mean, as long as there's some kind of tactile response. If it's just, if there's nothing, I mean, I use feeling for the button a lot blindly.
Nay. Oh,
I like feeling too, but I'd be willing to try it and see.
All right. I'm a nay. I need tactile, but I want a button. Airbnb apparently is raising a new round of funding that would value the company at $30 billion.
Jeez.
Wow.
Is Airbnb worth $30 billion?
Nope.
No way.
No. Yeah. Yeah. There's no way. Yeah.
No.
Do they have any competitors? I mean, this is like last week's conversation where you guys were talking about Uber just getting money because it takes out the competition.
Well, there are other things like VRBO was out there before Airbnb. There are some other things out there. I don't know what they're doing today. I haven't really spent any time on it. China. I'm not going to get into that. So have you heard about Amazon's new launch pad startup? Do you know what this is? So they were trying to compete with Kickstarter, but they didn't really do that. What they ended up doing was building a thing called Launchpad, which helps startups like sell. It helps them market their services and whatnot. You don't really know it, so I'm not going to talk much about that. That doesn't matter. Oh, Windows 10 legal proceedings. Did you hear about this?
No. Oh, the lady got $10,000. Yes, I did hear about this. Yes.
A woman sued for $10,000 over a Windows 10 installation. Basically, she said, you forced me to upgrade, and that's wrong, and...
She claimed it like almost bricked her computer. Oh, so wow. The upgrade, something happened with the upgrade. It went wrong and her computer was useless.
That's interesting.
So she sued for $10,000 and won.
So it was a forced automatic upgrade and she had the option to opt out, or was it?
It was like, I think the particulars were that it was very confusing for how to opt out,
right.
You know, and that all the defaults and these were like, the path was very clear to try and steer users to going to Windows 10. And she thought she had to, and it didn't work, and her computer just never came back.
Wow.
So she basically hit OK to a bunch of buttons, and dead was her computer.
And not really tech-related, the last thing because it's a legal proceeding, the last thing I wanted to ask about was we read about a couple of different cases like this, and it's been in the news long before, but... Parrots. Should parrots be allowed to testify in court?
100%.
Parrots. Absolutely. Is that a recent one, too? I'm going to say no. A literal bird brain should not be allowed.
Bird brain in every sense.
Your Honor, I'm going to object. That's a bird brain.
Take a seat, Freddie.
The bird brain over there doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about.
I really...
Oh, it's funny.
That is hilarious.
So, I mean, have they, the bird is just coached to have a response? It has thoughts of its own? I mean, what is this?
No,
in movies, it's always like they repeat the murder,
exactly.
Freddy, don't kill me! Freddy, don't kill me!
This is based on a thing like that.
Yeah.
Where the bird apparently heard something during the event and retained it and kept saying it.
Wow.
The thing is, the bird has to be put in isolation right away. So it stops learning.
Witness protection.
No, they actually talk about a witness protection.
Yeah. Oh, really? This bird.
No,
it has to be put in like a room.
This is happening in Michigan right now.
The Gambini family is looking to kill this bird.
That's a great like Paul Rudd.
And to discount it, Stephanie just said it's happening in Michigan right now.
Yeah.
So that just takes it all the way down to
God.
It should not.
All right, Your Honor, I'd like to call a star witness for the prosecution.
Squawks.
Yeah, just squawks.
Feathers will be represented by Big Bird.
Can I put your right wing on the Bible there? Yeah, swear with it. It's got to be an immediate. Your Honor, I'm going to have to object to this. I wonder what process of the bird getting walked in does the lawyer just go, Your Honor, I really have to object.
It'd be one of those things where it's like, well, there's no rule book that it can't testify.
But the spirit lawyer would support it. I'm
sure Fast Freddy would.
Your Honor, permission to treat the witness as hostile.
He just shat on my head.
Yeah, he just...
checking in my toupee.
Oh my god,
that's funny.
Well, I think we should probably
that's
wrap
up.
Good note.
Thank you all for listening. We've been the Worldwide IT Guys, Worldwide IT Guys on Twitter and www.itguys.com. Check us out. Let us know what you think, and we'll talk to you soon. Thanks, everybody.
Later. Thank you.
Bye.
Okay, so in this movie, I feel like Paul Rudd is like the good child in the Gambino family.
It's got to be animated. It's better.
Okay.
If it's animated.
And he's got to swap out the